The New Testament lesson is from 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 to 3. I'm going to read this from the Message. What marvelous love God has extended to us. Just look at it. We're called children of God. That's who we are. But that's also why the world doesn't recognize us or take us seriously, because it has no idea who God is or what God is up to. But friends, that's exactly who we are, children of God. And that's only the beginning. Who knows how we'll end up? What we know is that when Christ is openly revealed, we'll see him. And in seeing him, become like him. All of us who look forward to his coming, stay ready with glistening purity of Jesus, life as a model for our own. Let us pray. God, we thank you for your word and for the challenges you give us through it. And as we ponder this text today, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart would be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, it's All Saints Day today. And it's the day after Martin Luther posted his 95 theses on the door at the Wittenberg Church, which began the Reformation. And typically on this day, we remember those who have died in the past year. And it gives us opportunity also to celebrate their lives, but not only their lives, but to remember also the lives of those who have passed, our loved ones and friends. It gives us opportunity to remember the best of how they lived their lives as faithful witnesses to the love and grace of our Lord Jesus the Christ. I want to remind you that you are a child of God. You are beloved, blessed, and cherished. You are one of a kind, and God has called you to do great things and has equipped you to do great things. That's the truth. Do you hear it? Let me say a couple things about that. First, at some level, I know that you know that. It's a huge part of our theological heritage as Presbyterian Christians that in Christ, God has chosen each of us and set us apart, claimed us to be God's children forever. I mean, we know that, at least in theory. And the other thing is that while we know that we are God's children on an intellectual level, I'm not sure how often we really revel in that element of our identity. I mean, do we really think about what it means to be a beloved child of God? And does it really affect how we live our lives and our relationships with other people? Unfortunately, I think it's incredibly easy for us to forget. And for most of us, life has been so busy and crazy that it's really hard to find time to acknowledge, let alone deeply reflect on the fact that God loves us more than we can ever understand. When we're asked to describe who we are, what's the first thing that comes to our mind? Probably, what is your role? You know, I'm a father, I'm a son, I'm a grandfather, I'm a preacher, and you may be a teacher or an engineer or a pharmacist or whatever. But do you ever say, you know, I am a beloved child of God when you describe who you are? My hunch is that it's not even the second thing we think about when we try to describe ourselves. Yeah. You know what I'm saying, don't you? Yeah. And if I were to be honest with you, unless I'm in a certain place and certain mood, it's not one of the first things that come to my mind either. So I wonder, do we really get it? Do we really understand how important it is to our identity as followers of Jesus? As I think about it, whatever else we may say about ourselves, the most important thing about us is that God loves us as only an incredibly adoring parent can love. Really, Think about that. The God of the universe, the creator of all that is, knows you and me by name and loves us more than we could really understand. The reading that I read reminds us of how much God loves us and how much God has called us and gifted us in ways that we don't always understand or appreciate. You may remember last January we celebrated the baptism of Jesus and we did a renewal of your baptism. You know, and how the Spirit came and a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son whom I love and cherish." When we're baptized, that's the message for us, that we are God's beloved children. And when we did the renewal of baptism, I told you, you are a beloved child of God. Receive God's blessing now. And I gave you a token from the baptismal font to take with you to remember your baptism. I think we all need to remember that. We don't always feel like beloved children, or maybe we don't believe that we should be, could be, or really are. After all, too often we say things and we do things that aren't all that loving and don't reflect God's love for us or God's love for others. And sometimes it seems like we want to push God away. And yet, God loves you anyway. That's the heart of the gospel. And John reminds us, see what love the Father has given us, that we should be called children of God. And that is who we are. Think of that. God loves us that much, not because of our name, not because of our status, not because of our wealth, our possessions, status in life, what we have done or failed to do, or what we may do in the future. Just simply because God loves us, because that is who God is. And even more than that, God doesn't love the person we might be, the person we've promised to be, or the person we're trying to be. God simply loves us, the real us, the warts, scars, and all. It's amazing confession if you think about it. But this isn't just for ourselves to be kept and cherished by us as individuals. The church is not about individuality. It's not about me or you individually. It was never meant to be a private thing, something that we hold on to dearly for ourselves. The gospel and the message of God's love is always about community, about welcoming the stranger, welcoming the other. It's not about us. It's about the plural, the we, not the me. And so our task is to carry that message to those who are really struggling in life, just as Jesus did, to lift them up, to embrace them, to encourage them, to let them know that no matter what they've done, they are people of worth and value, and that God loves them just as they are. But John wasn't done. Look at the next couple of sentences. The reason the world doesn't know us is that it did not know God. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet been revealed. What we know is that when he, or Christ, is revealed, we will be like him, for we will see him as he is. And I was thinking about that this week. And what came to me in these verses is the fact that the world into which Jesus came really didn't recognize him as the Messiah. They were looking for this strong and mighty king and ruler who would overthrow the Romans, you know, and reestablish the nation of Israel on its own. They wanted that powerful king to come in. And how did Jesus come? Jesus came to a lowly peasant family. And when he began his ministry, he didn't curry favor with those in power. He came to heal the sick, to liberate those who were oppressed, to lift up those who had been ostracized by society, the lepers, the poor, and the infirm, those that were pushed to the fringe of their society in that day. So the world won't recognize us either if we minister to those who are downtrodden, ostracized, and oppressed. When we use our privileged voices to give voice to those who are otherwise ignored, are shoved aside because they aren't cool, rich, or have much of this world's wealth like Jesus, we won't be recognized either. But when we do the right thing and follow Jesus' example, we will be like him because we will really see him as he is. We are called to be the hands and feet of Jesus, transforming the world today. It's about living kingdom of God values in our lives and in our everyday living. When it dawns on us that as followers of Jesus, we are called to follow his way, speaking truth to power, standing by those who have no power, giving voice to the voiceless, and making sure that every vote counts and every voice is heard, we will face the same opposition that Jesus faced. But that's okay, because we will be doing the things that Jesus did, and our true identity will be established by God's unconditional love and therefore is available to us. Y'all encounter people who come to the food pantry who are going through hard times. When you stand with them and use your power to advocate on their behalf, you are doing what Jesus expects us to do. When we encounter people who have been abused and give them voice in a safe place of shelter, we are doing what Jesus did. When you or I encourage someone who is down and discouraged, we are doing what Jesus did, and you are showing love extended to them and letting them know that they are people of worth and dignity. You may never know what difference a kind word or kind act might do for someone. You see, God has something in store for us, big or little, hard or easy. God is at work to love the world through the unique person that God has created each of us to be and become. David Loos tells a story of a colleague who confessed to him that she had had some pretty horrific things happen to her when she was a young woman. She said that one of the most helpful things her pastor said to her was that God would use her despite what happened to her. And David looked at her for a moment and said that he believed that God would also use her because of what happened to her. Now, he wasn't trying to justify her pain or explain her pain as though God had some reason for it to happen to her, but rather that God is big enough and good enough to redeem our suffering and through it to work for the good of others, just as God worked through Jesus' suffering to redeem the world. That's what we are called to do. 22 years ago, I was in a very dark place. I didn't see much of a future at all for me. But a pastor friend, Ray Fenton, allowed me to unburden myself. He listened and showed compassion and caring. He asked questions and let me ask my questions. And he shared in my struggle at that time. He said to me that, well, Ken, one day you will see the light of day again. It's not today. Probably won't be tomorrow, next week, or next month, but one day. One day, you will see the sun shine again on your life, and you'll be doing what God calls you to do. You'll be okay. But hang in there and work through the pain, work through all of that stuff, and you will get to the other side. If Ray had not been there for me, I wouldn't be here with you today. For me, he was the face of Jesus, who listened with compassion and grace to help me find my way through the darkness and back to life again. What I think is important here is that we remember that God has called us to be children of God, and that is who we are. But that is just the beginning. Where we end up, who knows? This is the one thing I know. That God can take our characteristics, he can take our life experiences, our pain, and all of the stuff that we would rather not talk about that's been part of our lives, and God can use that for a greater good. He can take our accomplishments and our failures and use them for the greater good if we allow God to do that. And sometimes we resist God and go our own way, and that brings us to a different conclusion. But I think being saints is to recognize that God has called us by name. God knows us by name. And when the Bible talks about knowing a person's name and that God knows our name, it means that God knows everything about us, all the dirt in our lives, all the stuff that we wish nobody knew about. God knows. And God says, hey, I'm here for you. I love you. Just the way you are. So let's go do something. Let's go make a difference. We may seem like unlikely characters for God to choose, broken as we are. But anyone who even has a little bit of familiarity with the biblical story can tell you that that's pretty typical of God. God uses crackpots and broken people to do God's work and God's bidding. And so on this All Saints Day, we need to remind ourselves just how much God loves us. And that's why we can face the loss of our loved ones and remember on this day, because we know that God has loved each one of them and so has brought them over from this life through the gateway of death into the new and abundant life with God, with the saints triumphant. And that is why we can go out into this week and into the world and be the hands and feet of Jesus to face the challenges that are before us. We do not walk alone. God is with us and seeks to use us to accomplish God's purposes in the world that God created and loves. Friends, you are a beloved child of God, blessed and cherished, one of a kind, just as you are. That's the truth. Don't you forget it. Amen.